Ross Lazio alongside Sam Saig for the bowl edition of Running the Option. Sam, how you feeling?
I mean, I'm feeling good. It feels like it's been a while, though, since we did this. How are you feeling?
It has been a while, and I was actually going to say that it feels like I understand now when teams complain about not being out of sync, right. And it's been a long time. I mean, it's been so long since the two of us have done this that we might be out of sync. We might run a couple of plays poorly, especially when you talk about the option.
Oh, yeah.
Running the option is a timing thing.
Yeah.
And so if we run the option poorly, it could cause some big turnovers, maybe a terrible show.
Yeah, it's one thing to shake off the rust on the mic like we're doing here. Another thing to shake off the rust, put on pads after a month and a half for our national title contenders and run full speed and hit somebody. I don't really envy them.
Well, we have to work out the pipes.
We
do. Ha, ha, ha. You know, that's tough, too. But
I started about a week and a half ago starting to get things limbered.
Okay, so you were...
Today.
Well, good, good. But you're right. Maybe it's a little tougher to play football after a month off than talk. I don't know. I don't play a whole lot of football. But let's just, in this episode, let's just knock out the five BCS bowls. We're not going to do our end of the show quick hits. We're not going to break this into segments. There's actually a lot of things we could talk about, coaching changes, whatnot, but we'll save all that for next season. Let's knock out the five BCS bowls chronologically, if that sounds good to you.
Perfect.
And we'll start with the Rose Bowl on January 2nd. Which, before we start, how arbitrary is it that Pasadena has this rule that you're not allowed to do the Rose Bowl parade on a Sunday?
Yeah.
Because that wouldn't be a good Christian should be in church on Sunday. So they passed this law long ago. And so now, one of the only things we used to know about bowl season before it became a big crazy corporate bonanza is that all the important games were played on New Year's Day. Well, not anymore. We don't even play any games on New Year's Day.
I don't like it at all. I'm a traditionalist. I'm going to the Rose Parade. Now I'm going a day later to the Rose Parade.
What's the point of going to the Rose Parade after the New Year's already happened?
There's not one thing about any of it that I like.
You bring in the New Year, so you're going to bring in the New Year, right, on New Year's Eve. You're going to wake up New Year's Day. We're going to watch a little pro football.
Right.
And then on Monday, you're just going to go enjoy the parade with your family.
It's backwards. And, you know, it's been a crazy season in college football. We've dealt with everything.
It's fitting, isn't
think
it?
Think about this season.
Yep.
We create a college football podcast in a year where we have the biggest scandal in the history of the sport.
Yep.
We have coaching changes left and right.
Yep.
We have the circus show that was conference realignment.
Yep.
And it appeared we were going to lose the history of the game in one fell swoop. We have two SEC teams playing for a national title, which has sprung this argument of regionalism.
Right.
And now we have this, where January 2nd replaces January 1st. I don't like any of it.
We have a guy on a three-loss team winning the Heisman Trophy,
right,
which deservedly so, but still. So, okay, all that aside, the Rose Bowl will be played eventually, be it on the wrong day or not. And it's going to be Wisconsin-Oregon. And this one should obviously be a blast.
Here's my deal with this game.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of words here, but
okay,
I'll try to sum
lay them on me.
So Oregon is going to wear new helmets for the Rose Bowl. And everything I've heard about these helmets is that they are, it's basically like looking into a black mirror. They've been called like Darth Vader helmets.
Okay.
When you see these, I hope they're as crazy as they sound.
They live up to the hype.
I hope they live up to
yeah.
the hype. And we've seen Oregon do a lot of weird things. This one is supposed to be like liquid metal
glass.
Are
these going to be legal?
Evidently, from what I mean, if you're a Wisconsin player, you may be looking into a black mirror.
I guess when you made the rule book years ago,
yeah.
you didn't anticipate adding a rule where you're not allowed to have cool black Darth yeah. Vader mirror helmets.
They may blind Russell Wilson and his leading passer efficiency.
He may see his own soul in
right.
them.
But here's these helmets that I think will make a splash as they normally do.
And from a fashion perspective or on the field?
Yeah, from a fashion
okay,
perspective.
Okay.
But if you're an Oregon fan, you come onto the field, or you come to the Rose Bowl and all its pageantry, you're excited about seeing your team play new uniforms, you're excited. The problem is, if Oregon was to lose this game, and let's say they lose it, probably won't happen, but let's say they lose it 27-10.
Okay.
Here's a program that's known for flash. Flash with its speed, flash with its uniforms. It's a program that's got a big identity right now
mm-hmm.
going. You lose this game in that fashion and add it to the loss against LSU, the loss against Auburn, the loss against Ohio State. the losses against Boise in the past, and all of a sudden, if you're an Oregon fan, do you sit and ask yourself, are we a smoke and mirrors type of program? Because there's this vibe that Oregon really needs this game. That, yes, they're fine. They're a Pac-12 perennial contender. They're not going to go anywhere inside the conference. But a lot of people are wondering, with USC back on the rise, is Oregon on the precipice of becoming an elite top five team every year? Or are they a team that teases us every season, and to start and finish seasons, when teams have time to prepare, they shut them down or they make them look worse than they look during the season? What is going to be the identity of this program after this game? Because another loss, if they don't look good, could damage their reputation a bit.
Definitely. I mean, they're already starting to get into that category that you're talking about. And then another loss here, even against a very good Wisconsin team, would cement their reputation as a team that can dominate in the Pac-12.
Right.
But when push comes to shove, can't get the job done. It would also be a huge black eye on a conference that can't really afford one on the field. Now, off the field, the Pac-12 is doing everything right. But on the field, the Pac-12 championship was a complete joke, and UCLA played their hearts out, and obviously the game was never in question anyway. But that game was a joke. And if Oregon loses another big game in representing the Pac-12, it would be awful for the conference. And more notably, like you mentioned, for the team. It's a really difficult question to say, is the program, you know, say a failure if they don't get to that next step? Because how many programs would love to be in that position?
Well,
it's one of those things. If you're in position to complain that we can't get over the hump, all we do is win and win and win and win and win, and we can't get that last win, and you're that Oklahoma or Ohio State. Now, granted, those teams have gotten it, but they very often don't live up to expectations. When you're at that level where you're almost there but not there, it's a great level to be at. So I don't know that it completely ruins everything the program is doing, but obviously it's going to be frustrating. And with expectations comes more heartbreak if you don't get there.
Exactly. I mean, 10 years ago, Oregon would love to be exactly where they are. And, you know, we're hard on this program a lot of times because of their flash. It's because of the helmets they're going to wear and because of the speed that they have. They lost the national title game by 3 points last year. But because we're expecting points and offense every time we watch this team play, especially in non-conference games, because that's where you really prove what you are on a national stage. You bring in an entire other part of the country to watch you play. And this is where Oregon has struggled. So every year is important in college football when you're trying to establish your program. And Wisconsin has this opportunity as well. You know, you have Urban Meyer at Ohio State, Michigan's on the rise, but Wisconsin is this close to breaking into the Big Ten and being the big power program there. Both programs have a great opportunity, but you can't afford to waste too many of these big stage
games. Honestly, if you want the truth, I think it really does come down to style points in this game, and that may not be true, and maybe some Oregon fans are rolling their eyes. They want this win, and they'd take an ugly win over a pretty loss, but honestly, I just want to see the Oregon Ducks play their game from start to finish.
Yeah.
If they get beat, that's fine. The Auburn game, neither team played their game from start to finish. I mean, we were expecting fireworks in that one that didn't come. In the Ohio State game, that one was particularly unforgivable, considering Ohio State, their bowl history leading up to that game over the last few years was abysmal. They were the team that always lost the big game. And Oregon completely laid an egg on offense. The Boise State games we were talking about, even the USC game, they had a great second half. But that first half, they're at home and they're all of a sudden down big. And now granted, it's kind of an oxymoron because if Oregon plays their game from start to finish, they're probably going to win. So it's hard. But I would just like to see a game in this Rose Bowl. If both of these teams come out firing all cylinders, like we know they're capable of winning, and it ends up being like that Texas-USC game was, I don't think, obviously it was a heartbreaking loss for USC fans, but years later, a lot of fans look back on that game with fond memories. It was an incredible game, and USC gave it their all, Texas gave it their all, it was an awesome game. If we could just see Oregon play their game, that would go a long way. I don't care if they win or lose.
No, you're right, and the thing is, style points have never meant more in the history of college football from a recruiting standpoint than they do now. So like you said, USC played one of the most epic national title games you can play. They lost it, but it certainly didn't hurt their recruiting. Oregon needs to show itself on a national stage the way we're accustomed to thinking of them. If people in Wisconsin even think of Oregon and they immediately think offense, then they're going to look, and if Oregon doesn't produce offense, they're going to say, well, what was that all about? You know, there's an expectation.
This game, if Wisconsin looks at the tape and figures out Oregon and goes out there and just beats them, yeah. And Oregon looks out of sync, and, you know, and then we start talking about, oh, it was the break and blah, blah, blah. If we have to start making all these excuses again, that's my problem. Yeah. I don't care if they win or lose this game. They're clearly a top 10 team. Right. But what is a top 10 team? That could be a 9 or 8 every year.
That could be Virginia Tech.
Exactly. That's a great comparison. Yeah. So, you know, at some point they're going to have to win this game, but... let's actually look at this game. Yeah. Do you think this is the year that Oregon gets over the top?
The fear that I have, and I'll say right away, I'm going to pick Oregon against my better judgment. Okay. And my head tells me Wisconsin, because my head tells me that the same game we saw, unfortunately, if you're an Oregon fan, what you saw them do against Ohio State a couple of years ago, when heading into that game, everyone talked about the difference in team speed. It's that stereotypical Big Ten is strong on the line of scrimmage, but they're not fast enough laterally, and Ohio State didn't matter at all to them. They weren't the fastest defense, but they were in the right position, and Wisconsin's built completely the same way. They're the eighth best defense in the country in terms of total defense. They have no fear, I don't believe, of playing an Oregon team that has a lot of speed, but Wisconsin is so sound in their scheme that I think they're going to be in position most of the time to defend all of the reads and looks that Oregon shows. My thing with Oregon, I think they understand what's on the line in this game. If they're going to win, it's going to be close. It's going to have to be a shootout. And I think they can get into a shootout. I certainly think Wisconsin can get into a shootout, too, with maybe the most balanced offense in the country.
Absolutely.
But you look at what Oregon's done. I don't think I've given, in my own head, enough credit to Darren Thomas, who, if you look at his numbers, I didn't think Darren Thomas was going to be strong after the injury. After that injury, I thought he was never going to get back on track. And at the end of the year, he has another 30-touchdown season in terms of throwing. This is a four-headed monster. I mean, it's a legit. This might be the best offense they've had in many years. Michael James still led the country in yards per game rushing. And so, I mean, you look at it, Kenyon Barner, 1,000 yards from the line of scrimmage. DeAnthony Thomas, I had no idea his numbers were as gaudy as they turned out to be in all-purpose yards. He scored in three different ways. Plenty of speed, and I think they're confident. I don't like their defense, but I think they can win in a shootout type of game. But I mean, you know, Wisconsin has plenty on the other side to counter them.
You bring up a great point about Darren Thomas, because when I was taking notes to talk about this game, when I've written some articles about it, I was going to talk about how I like the fact that Wisconsin's offense is more balanced and that they've got more of a passing presence with Russell Wilson. But when you actually look at the numbers and the passing game that Oregon has, they have a very legitimate passing attack, too. Obviously, they're built on this run. Michael James, incredible. But the guy on the other side, Monty Ball, is not so bad himself.
Maybe
it's
better.
It's two great, great offenses. And I'm going to use the word parallel a lot in this podcast, mm-hmm. because I think just about every one of these games, there's very distinct parallels between the two games. The only one I would say that's not the case with is one we'll talk about next, Stanford-Oklahoma State. And there are some there too. But these are two very good offenses, two great rushing offenses more specifically. And it's really going to come down to the defense or which team comes out in form. And that's where I lean towards Wisconsin, because if we've seen anything with the coming off of long breaks, when teams have time to prepare for Oregon, they have figured out ways to solve Oregon. I don't think there's much of a way to solve Wisconsin. Now, I don't watch as much Wisconsin football as I do Oregon football, so maybe I'm just not aware of that recipe. But Wisconsin comes out and plays the game essentially a pro-style way. I mean, they're just going to smash-mouth football you. And I'm making that a verb, but that's basically, they're just going to come out and run it down your throat, and they have a great passing game to boot. If you get Oregon out of its rhythm, it doesn't work. It hasn't worked. And if Wisconsin gets down 14, I know they can come back. If Oregon gets down big, I'm not saying they can't come back. They've obviously proven that they can, but they can't just be a passing team. They're going to have to keep doing the things they do in the running game, and if the running game is solved, they're not going to get there. So I think Wisconsin's a little more well-rounded on offense, even if Oregon's a bit more explosive, and I like Wisconsin's defense better. Yeah. I was very surprised that Wisconsin's a 6-point underdog in this game. I mean, I think this should be a coin flip.
I don't see it at all. I mean, I always like to pick teams that win the line of scrimmage to win games.
Yeah.
I think Wisconsin will win the line of scrimmage in this game. I think their offensive line will have the edge because Oregon, statistically, Oregon's not that great of a defense. We like them at times personnel-wise.
Yeah.
They do have some nice players, but they're not a great defense by any means, and I think Wisconsin is more than capable of establishing the line of scrimmage early on offense and keeping it that way. The only thing that I'll say that if you want to look for a way Oregon might have a chance is the last time Wisconsin lost a game was, and we talk all the time about how heartbreaking their losses were, and rightfully so, they were last-second losses, but how did they lose to Ohio State?
Yep.
They lost because Boom Heron and Braxton Miller owned them in the run game.
Yep.
Those two guys were able to run the football against Wisconsin, and Braxton Miller, you could say, you know, Darren Thomas is similar, better probably, and you look at Boom Heron, they have three guys that are better than Boom Heron.
Absolutely.
So if you're going to look for a way that maybe the last great rushing team or the last team with a dual-threat quarterback to take advantage of all the ways that you can use that against Wisconsin, Ohio State did it successfully. Maybe Oregon capitalizes on that.
It's a great point, and you look at Wisconsin, and when they played that game, they gave up a lot of points. Both games against Michigan State, they gave up a lot of points. So maybe this defense, especially by the numbers, is a beneficiary of a somewhat soft schedule. But looking at Oregon, who's Oregon beaten this year?
Right.
We have trouble with both of these schedules. We both think these are great teams, elite teams, but I'm not really seeing anything on either schedule that is comparable here. I mean, Wisconsin had the win over Nebraska. Oregon, of course, has the win over Stanford. Not saying they didn't get here without big wins, but there's not a laundry list, an SEC type of list of wins here that we can say, oh, well, look at how they handled these guys. Wisconsin's against good teams has given up plenty of points, so maybe I'm giving the defense too much credit here. Maybe I'm falling in love with the stats.
At the end of the day, I think Wisconsin, from their balance on offense to the way they play on defense, is probably the better pick. There's something, and this is the reason I led with this thing about the Oregon helmets. There's something about if you're going to put yourself on that kind of stage and make the fashion statements and the statements about offense and speed that Oregon are all about, every now and then you have to just man up and win this type of game. And if Oregon's going to do it, I think this needs to be a place they do it. It's kind of against my head to pick Oregon in this game. But I just feel like they need to make a statement as a program that they can win against a very good team, against a great team, really, and a program that's also this close to being an elite level.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I agree with you 100%, but I'd say the same for Wisconsin. No. They just lost the Rose Bowl last year. All their fans went out to the Rose Bowl and lost last year. You don't want to lose in the same bowl two straight years, and you don't want these questions to start popping up about you.
That's why this game's going to be so much fun. I think Oregon is feeling it from their fan base a lot, but Wisconsin,
they're going to start if they don't lose this one. Or if they don't win this one. So I just hope, like I said, that both teams come out in top form.
Yeah.
Because at points in the season, I could have easily argued that these were the two best teams in the country, or at least I should say the two most deserving of a shot against LSU. So I'd love to see these two teams in top form give us the game they are capable of giving us.
Mm-hmm.